5 have never been more full. So, good afternoon. It's glad to see everyone here. I've been looking forward to fellowshipping with you and sharing some thoughts that the Lord's been downloading into me this last week. So, you know, like Lauren said, many of our pastors and our friends and family are traveling. And, you know, if you've ever traveled with a young child, then you know the routine. You know, you have a checklist that you go down. Your bathroom, check. You have extra clothes, check. Bathroom, check. You have books, games, technology at full charge, check. Bathroom again, check. And bathroom again, check. You know, you pack everything into your car, your train or your plane or whatever form of transportation you've chosen. Think exclamation mark instead of question marks. Many times we demand God to respond to us quickly to our request rather than waiting in Him in trust and, you know, for His perfect will and for His perfect timing. Maybe that's you today. So together, let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us about waiting and the importance of persevering when seeking to live a life pleasing to God. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, we thank you for this time that you have arranged for all of us to be here at the same time. We thank you, Lord, that that's you that will pour down your Holy Spirit upon our lives, especially during difficult times when we're asked to wait and we see no relief in sight. We thank you, Lord, that we can be encouraged that you will never leave us or you never forsake us, but your perfect plan, Lord, will always find a way to bring us. The title of the message today is, Are We There Yet? Okay, so we have a Bible verse from Daniel 6, 16 to 22. Can we go ahead and all stand up and we'll read it together, please? In one voice. 1, 2, 3. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then King at the end of the light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I have found innocent in his sight, nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. You may sit down. So just a brief background of this passage today. So King Darius was ruler over Babylon and he had several advisors. And their job was to help him lead and govern. Daniel was the lead advisor, and he was a man also who humbly followed God. So the advisors were jealous of Daniel and wanted to get rid of him. However, they could not find anything wrong, no fault, no corruption with him. So they devised their own plan, and they led the king to enact a new law that made it illegal under penalty of death for anyone to worship anyone other than the king for a period of 30 days. So there was no mistaking the intent because this law was targeting one person and one person only, and that was Daniel. It would be like us passing a law today that the owner of the bright orange Prius with the pink I Break for Hello Kitty sticker and the bumper sticker cannot drive on the 101 freeway. So, you know, despite fully knowing the consequences of breaking that law, Daniel continued to praise and worship God 3 times a day, just as he has faithfully been doing even long before the passage of the law. So anyone who has felt unjustly burdened by a difficult situation in your life with no way out, you have tried to live a righteous life, yet face struggles and challenges that leave you wondering, when and where and how is God going to come to my rescue? So if this is you, you're not alone. We can all relate to the story of Daniel in the lion's den. So the main point of the message today is that there are many challenging situations and people that we unexpectedly encounter in our lives, and they force us to examine the foundation of our faith. You know, we might be seeing like hairline fractures of impatience begin to appear as we wait for God. But this afternoon, we'll be looking at the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and I'll be sharing from my personal experiences about this topic of waiting. And we will see how others wait through difficulty in such as times as these. So the theology of waiting, you know, the idea of waiting is actually an important biblical concept. It appears in the Bible 106 times in 101 verses. In Spanish and in English, words like hope, expect are closely attached to the definition of waiting. In Hebrew, the exact definition for wait is kwava, which implies strength through numbers. Lawrence is not here, but it's kind of like the Golden State Warriors motto, strength in numbers. You know, when I go camping, I use a piece of paracord, and it's like a rope, you know, and it gets its strength by joining eight individual strands together to make one rope, you know, and in the same way, this rope's strengths come from being made of many strands woven together. Our rope, the strength of our life, comes through being twisted and woven and bound with our Father in heaven. So we never really quite know how strong our rope is until we are tested during trials and when seeds of doubt begin to attack our faith. In the Bible, the word kwava suggests to wait, to hope, and to expect, which we do individually and as a community as well. But looking at the life of Daniel and his relationship with King Darius provides three important truths that we can hold on to when we ask, are we there yet? And God's answer is not yet. So we're going to begin to look at the three W's of waiting. So the first question is, what and who are we waiting for and for how long? In verse 16, we read, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you. So just a few observations. You know, the king was bound by his own royal decree to carry out the sentence upon Daniel, who violated the law. You knowing how the king felt about Daniel, when he says, may your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you, it comes across more of a blessing, you know, and as not as a sarcastic taunt. King Darius considered Daniel to be one of his most trusted and loyal employees, and watching Daniel confirmed to the king that he was indeed a servant of God. And in the same way, people looking at our lives during our trials, our conduct, our speech, and our actions, you know, people look to see how we react. And Daniel was not only King Darius's friend, but he was also someone who served the Lord continuously. You know, Daniel was waiting for God's love to intervene in a situation, and so was King Darius. They're waiting for the same miracle, and it was really a beautiful picture of how people's faith can intersect, even though they come from different backgrounds. And when people look at us, they should be seeing Jesus first. So I have a question for you. What is your lion's den today? From Daniel's life, we learn that whatever trial you are facing or challenge that you might be running away from, that God can and rescue you because he never leaves his faithful servants, and God transforms our problems into opportunities and reason for praise. So the answer to the question, who or what are we waiting for? The answer to that question is simple. When our earthly source of comfort and help are removed, we wait upon God. Maybe not the timely answer that we expect, but if we truly believe that he is the author of our faith, it's a perfect answer. There's a book called A Gardener's Look at the Fruits of the Spirit. The author's name is Philip Keller, and he says of patience, it is the powerful attribute that enables a man or woman to remain steadfast under strain, not just standing still, but pressing on. Christ came not to be ministered to, but to minister and serve others. And the gracious perseverance with which he endured every adversity as well as the abuse of evil men for our sakes and our salvation should stir our souls. So does a farmer just throw seeds on the ground? No. You know, he or she waits for the optimal time to sow the seeds and understands what each plant needs to grow. He or she has to know the quality of the soil and how much supplement, how much fertilizer to put in the soil. And next comes the loosening and the breaking of hard ground with tools to improve his or her chances of growing a plentiful crop. So then, after the farmer has done all that, the farmer must rely on things that are completely out of his or her control, such as rainfall, sunlight, and air that cause the plants to grow. His waiting continues as he tends the crop to rid them of bugs and weeds that destroy the plants. So that is the farmer's part, and the rest is dependent upon God, and that's the way it is for our lives as well. With self-control and patience, we are able to experience his miraculous hands orchestrating the events and connecting the dots of our lives to help us grow and lack nothing. God is aware of the perfect growing conditions for each one of us, and he tends to every details of our lives. So like everybody else, I too had dreams of having a good life, you know, being surrounded by friends, getting an education, being strong of mind and physically fit, finding a good job, and eventually getting married and having a family. But that's not the reality of my situation. My home life was more of a nightmare than a dream. Our home was usually the most quiet or the most explosive on the block. You know, throughout my life, I waited for acceptance from my dad, and I only remember three times in my life where he actually referred to me as his son. You know, my dad had anger issues. So I would go to sleep before he came back from work, and I made sure that I would wait in the morning until he left before getting out of my room. And when our paths did cross, I would wait for him to, you know, put me down, to berate me, scream and curse at me. And I would spend, you know, many hours waiting in a car by myself in the parking lot of a bar while my dad would go inside and drink with his friends. You know, after high school, it took me 15 years to graduate with a degree, way longer than any of my friends took to finish. You know, and even then, there were many years of waiting for a cure to sickness that prevented me from holding a job. So I watched and I waited as my friends got married and they started their own families. I even had to watch my younger cousins who were much younger, many years younger than me, and they got married and as well. So I was left wondering, you know, when would it be my turn? But knowing the prospects were not in my favor. So I share this not to gain your sympathy, but, you know, to say no matter how bad your situation is, as a follower of Christ, know that God is at work writing and rewriting the stories of your lives. You know, before brain cancer took my father's life, we actually made amends. You know, we apologized to each other. We asked each other for forgiveness. And more importantly, he acknowledged God as his savior. And the narrative of our lives completely changed. You know, God healed our relationship, although it still took many years for forgiveness to come. You know, one day out of the blue, I received a phone call from my cousin, and she said San Jose was hiring teachers. So my application to the elementary school in Arizona was mysteriously lost in transit. So I accepted the job here in San Jose, and God gave me a career. And then one day, a new teacher joined our staff, her name, Winnie. And she moved from the Bay Area down south to go to school. And after graduation, she left her job there to come back to the Bay Area to teach, and eventually ending up at the same school that I was at. You know, so God was coordinating the events of our lives according to his perfect will and timing. And today, here we are at New Vine. Why are we called to wait? So verse 17, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the ring of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not change. So I think many of us here can relate to this moment when the stone was placed over the den in our lives. For me, it was when my doctor told me that there was no hope nothing that he could do to improve my health situation. And in this story with Daniel in the lion's den, it was just God, Daniel, and the lions. You know, what is the stone that's preventing you from escaping your den of lions? The place where you're forced to stay in a pattern of waiting and seeking after God. Commentary suggests that the king most likely wanted to keep others from going into the lion's den to kill Daniel. That's why the stone was rolled over the entrance. You know, by faith, the king used his signet ring and those of his nobles to seal the opening of the den, essentially cutting off any form of human help or outside interference. There would be no question who saved Daniel. It would be God. So let's be totally honest. If it were me and I knew that I could roll the stone away without anybody finding out, I would have probably thought of many things to save Daniel. I could have removed him from the den and then brought him back before sunrise, before anyone got there. Or I could have just removed the lions. Or I could have just fed the lions a huge amount of meat until the lions weren't hungry anymore, and then they would leave Daniel alone. Or I could go into the den and I could place a barrier separating the lion from Daniel. That's how I would think. But this is why the king's actions were rooted in genuine faith, you know, demonstrating his belief that only God could save Daniel, leaving no doubt back then and even today that God is here for us during our trials. And we encounter others who are struggling. This can be a picture of how we support them as well. Waiting has been a big part of my life. Over 20 years ago, I woke up one morning expecting to go to work, and I could not get out of bed because I had like flu-like symptoms. And it soon progressed to the point where all I was feeling was pain. It hurt to sit. It hurt to stand. My neck would not turn left or right. And after many doctor's visits and consultations with specialists, I was diagnosed with the following: chronic fatigue, rheumatoid arthritis, TMJ, which is like a misaligned jaw, fibromyalgia, and other autoimmune diseases. Being diagnosed as just one of these would be like life-altering. But having to deal with all of these at the same time, it was totally devastating. So, you know, what followed were years of like strong medication and attempts at rehabilitation with the hope of returning to a normal life. When that didn't happen, I sought alternative forms of healing like acupuncture, chiropractic adjustments, martial arts, qigong, physical therapy, holistic medicine, and even saw an Indian shaman. But nothing gave me real relief, and neither did it provide a long-term solution. So I was extremely unreliable because not knowing how my body would feel from one day to the next, it made it difficult to commit to anything. Even my friends would joke, if Randy says maybe, that probably means no way. So, you know, for those of us, those of you who know me, one of my passions in life is running. You know, every weekend used to be filled with running races ranging from 5K, 10K, half, full marathons, and triathlons. Getting stronger and staying flexible became the singular focus of my life. But during a flare-up, I would literally have to stop racing and hit the reset button and have to start all over again. So what that would mean for me was first walking a block, and then next maybe jogging 100 yards to the bridge, running a mile to the park, and then over time, working up to longer distances, 3, 6, 9, up to 26. But during one of my visits to the doctor, I mentioned to him that it was hard for me to run for more than a couple of miles. And he looked at me and he said, most of my patients with the same diagnosis as yours cannot even walk around the block. So it was at that moment that I realized that even in my trials, God's mercy was there. I remember an incident after a long layover, having to build up my strength again, entering a 5K race, and I was standing at the line, start line, and a stranger asked me in a rather like annoyed voice, why are you here? You look like you should be running the marathon. You know, and for those of us who look fine on the outside, you know, we've become very good at painting on smiles on our face, but we struggle inside. God knows our inner pains and our hidden frustrations that others cannot see. So God sees and he walks with us. So here I was, unhealthy, unreliable, unemployable, and by all definition, destined for what people call the gift of singleness. On top of that was the brain fog, which is perhaps like the most difficult and frustrating thing to deal with. So brain fog is a difficulty concentrating, memorizing, and thinking clearly. So if we were having a discussion, there would be moments where there would be holes in my conversation. So I might ask you the same question that I just asked, or forget what you just said to me. It isn't that I was not listening to you, but the words that I heard seemed to just leave me, and it just left me confused. So to this day, God has graciously removed and in large part, lessened the severity of my condition. However, I have to accept the fact that my complete healing might not be in this lifetime, but I have to wait until God gives me a new body in heaven. You know, we are here to wait until his return, both in wellness and also in sickness. So we are called to wait because it produces maturity in us and allows us to grow while we wait. You know, like a refiner's fire, God uses perseverance as a tool to demonstrate his character during difficult situations. And during those situations, it produces greater faith in us, and that produces goodness, knowledge, self-control, endurance, and devotion, and a Christ love for everyone around us. And you know, there is a certain comfort in knowing that you only have one option in life for wellness, wholeness, and fruitfulness, and that is in God. So how are we to wait? In verse 18, when the king returned to the palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. So the king returns to his palace and he doesn't sleep the whole night. You know, as king, he had access to anything he wanted in the land. So he could have diverted his tension really easily from this Daniel situation. Yet he went without food, he went without entertainment and people. He fasted. You know, is this a picture of how we're to wait as well? I'm not saying that God is asking you at this moment not to go upstairs to eat, not to talk with those around you, but you get this image of the king. And it was a timely, steadfast patience and trust that he had in God. Verse 19, at first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continuously, been able to rescue you from the lions?" So he got up and he hurried to the lion's den. Again, we see an image of a king in anguish, yet he had the expectation that Daniel would be unharmed. And for his part, I imagine Daniel was doing the same thing that he had faithfully been doing all along, actively praying, worshiping, and trusting, waiting upon God through the night. In verse 21, then Daniel spoke with the king, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths. They haven't hurt me, for I was found innocent before him. Also, I have not committed a crime against you, my king." So we see Daniel and King Darius were actively waiting for the same thing. God was doing his part, which was to send the angel to shut the lion's mouth. You know, he did not remove the lions. So in the same way, God may not remove those trials completely from our lives, but he will render them powerless over us. So if you want to see a picture of active waiting, you need to watch Pastor Ted fly fish. Several years ago, we crossed over the Oregon border to fly fish for steelhead salmon. And it's been mentioned before, steelheads are often referred to as the fish of 1,000 casts because it takes about 1,000 casts before you can get a bite on your line. So in between the cold, off again, you know, on again rain, we fished for 3 days from sun up to sundown, and we would go back to this tent. And, you know, Pastor Ted is so intense. We only ate celery and hot dogs for 3 days because he wanted to spend all the time that he could on the water or preparing to come out. So, you know, as a fisherman, there's no point in standing in one place for hours on end and not casting your fishing line into the water where the fish live. You know, in casting, a fly lure is with a fly rod is not easy. it requires no less than 10 steps. And if any one of those steps is taken out of sequence or the timing is wrong, even a little bit, your fly will land like harmlessly and pitifully in the wrong place, resulting in a missed opportunity and no reaction from the salmon. So if we believe that something is worth pursuing, then we will do everything possible to obtain the thing that we seek. In case you're wondering, Pastor Ted did catch and release two salmon that trip. So just to kind of recap everything that we talked about today, you know, God's timing is perfect. He is the one that we're waiting for. We're not waiting so much for an end to our problems, but we're waiting for him. Waiting is a tool that God uses to refine us and glorify himself. And point three, actively waiting is important. We cannot wait passively. So I'm really grateful for the New Vine community here, because this is a place where we can be real and open with each other about our struggles and our challenges and feel supported. We have all tried to hide losses, you know, struggle with doubts, experience bouts of sadness, consumed with fear, sliding into depression, and even battling against overwhelming disappointment, bondages, griefs, worries, and anger. But let's confidently, bring those struggles before the light of God by actively waiting and seeking him. Before I close, I want to leave you with one image of an ox. And this ox is yoked to a plow and patiently preparing the hard soil for the farmer to plant a future crop. There are rocks, there are roots, there's hard places that are in the way, yet the ox steadily and obediently follows the farmer's guidance regardless of the condition of the soil or the weather. And this is illustration of a life of submission to our Heavenly Father. And in the same way he wants us to wait, let's follow the steps that God has given us to his expected return by actively, you know, reading his word, seeking his will, earnestly praying, praising and worshiping him, confessing our sins and living blamelessly and staying in fellowship. So I leave you with that, and just encourage you that whatever you're going through, that just know that God has a plan for you. After service today, Auntie Kitty will be up here to pray with anybody who has a prayer request for physical healing or emotional healing. So please, you know, stick around before you go upstairs to have dinner, and she'll pray with you. So thank you. Have a nice evening.